Music by Cole Porter from the musical Anything Goes, as you could probably tell. Title track, obviously. That is the next production at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois. It'll open on July the 3rd and run through July the 14th. It is the second production, actually, of their summer season. The first one is still underway. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. We'll be talking about both and probably mention the other two shows that are coming up in their season with the Executive Artistic Director, John Stevens, in just a moment. Later in the show, and the show, by the way, which I guess I haven't said, is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And I'm Kevin Kelly. The other performance we'll be talking about is also is on Sunday at the Illinois State University in Normal, their Center for the Performing Arts. They're putting on a concert version of Verdi's opera Aida. ISU is not, but rather the Midwest Institute of Opera is. It's their 2013 season, which consists of that concert production and then also Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro coming up in late in July. And we'll actually be having some guests come on from that cast. From the Aida cast, we have one of the artistic directors of Midwest Institute of Opera, who's also in the title role, Tracy Marie Cook, and she'll be joining us in a little while to give us an aria or two from that opera. But first, America's answer to opera, I guess, the musical theater, and John Stevens from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Thanks for driving up, as always.
Thanks for having me.
So a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Started on June the 19th. So what, that was 2 weekends ago?
No, we started, it? A week ago from this coming Wednesday. So all of our shows run 15 performances. They start on Wednesday with a matinee and then run through Sunday and then Tuesday through Sunday of the following week. And we actually did Fiddler on the Roof was our opening show of the season this year that we opened.
Oh, it was. It's off the website.
Yeah, it's off the website now. It opened on the 5th of June and ran through the 16th. And fantastic performance that we had there. Really beautiful, beautiful production.
So the Little Theater, of course, has a year-round season, but the most concentrated, busiest part of the season is the summer. Has that always been true?
That's how the Little Theater started, even back in 1957. That first year, they did 9 musicals in 9 weeks' time, which is kind of crazy.
How could one even do that, I wonder?
Yeah, they were constantly just changing shows to get that new audience in there. But we do. We have 2 weeks of rehearsal at the start of the season, and then we kick off with 2 days of tech before we open on a Wednesday. And then every 2 weeks from there, we change shows. So they run for like 10 days, and then we're on to the next one.
What's the overlap in casts?
Usually about 4/5 of the cast is overlapping, and they're also doing a children's show at the same time. Any of our non-equity, which is our people, we have union contracts that we are able to give equity contracts, and then but the majority of our company is made up of non-equity members or EMC equity membership candidate people who are earning points towards their equity card. So they're doing a lot of work. They start at 9 a.m, go 9 to noon with rehearsal for the children's show, which the next one we've got coming up is Dora the Explorer's Pirate Adventure. And then we're doing Snow White later on in the summer. And then from 1 to 6, they rehearse the main stage show. And then at night, they do have to be there at 7:30 for an 8 o'clock show, unless it's a matinee day and that schedule changes a little bit from there.
So when you say 4/5 of the cast overlaps, does that mean 4/5 of the cast from one show to the next?
Yes.
Or for the whole season?
Well, both.
So 4/5 of the people who are in Forum might be in each of the other shows?
Yes. Yeah. I have a core, basically my course for the season is here for all 5 shows plus the 3 children's shows that we do. And they usually have a couple of feature roles that they are in a couple of different shows, but for the most part, they're filling out the course for these shows.
I'm still, even though this is not the 9 shows in 9 weeks that it once was, the Little Theater, I'm still, my mind is still boggled by how this can come off. So while one show is playing, is the next show rehearsing?
Yes. Yeah.
I've only been on stage twice in my life. Once when I was in sixth grade, as I confessed to the audience here last week. And then once it was even, well, didn't even count. And I don't even know how one memorizes lines and songs for one show, much less keeping two shows in your head.
Yeah. And sometimes four shows because they're performing a children's show, rehearsing another children's show, performing a main stage, rehearsing a main stage.
You've been in a lot of shows.
I've been in a fair share of shows. I'm terrible at remembering lines, though.
So this question won't...
I do one show at a time.
One show at a time. So you've never been in this situation.
No.
What do people who have been in this situation tell you they have to do or that they do in order to keep things straight?
It's really setting that mindset of, like, now I'm taking the time to work on a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. Okay, I'm taking a break from this, and now I'm working on Anything Goes, so that they're not trying to do two things at the same time. So they concentrate that time to say that this is all I'm doing right now is just this one show. Now I'm moving on to this next show, which may be 10 minutes later from what they were just working on, but they have to make that clean break and walk away from it for a minute and then be able to come back and do something completely different so they can change that mindset.
Wonder how often it happens that somebody pops out with a line from one show.
Oh, it happens.
In the wrong show.
Oh, it happens. They just think that they're someplace else, yeah.
I would imagine that it must happen.
Well,
a lot.
The really scary thing is when you add up the hours of rehearsal, the time that they have as a company together, there's only 38 hours of rehearsal before they go into tech, and then there's 15 hours total of tech before we open a show.
And for those who are not initiated into the world of theater, tech means?
Tech is the time that they first step on stage and actually have the set, actually have the costumes, have the sound, the orchestra, microphones, props in hand, and are putting things together with the lights going from one cue to the next, rehearsing, making sure every transition happens the way that it needs to go. And it's a very belabored process a lot of times because we're setting lights around people and having to refocus things and make sure that everybody's hitting their mark to be where they're supposed to be at the right time and be able to make quick costume changes from one change to the next. So that 15 hours includes one full run through without stopping before they see an audience.
So does that make it advisable, I've always wondered, for somebody who wants to go see the show to perhaps consider going to a later show?
I think that the show definitely changes from the first week to the second week, but many people really enjoy that freshness that it brings that first week. And sometimes we have a fair share of people who have dual sets of season tickets who will see it the first week and then come back and see it the next week because it really is a completely different show after they, you know, find their groove, feel more comfortable with things that into that second week of things.
Well, you hope it's not a completely different show.
Well, not completely different, but it's
a
little smoother
energy.
And yeah. Different energy. There, it's not that new energy. It's kind of a settled energy to it.
So for those who don't know the story of these shows, tell us a little bit about the current production.
Well, a funny thing happened on the way to the forum is a really, really fun show. It was one I had actually never seen until we produced it.
Steven, and that's the one I have seen of these two.
Of these two?
Yeah, the Champagne Bath Theater Company did it several years ago. I think they're doing it this summer, too, as a matter of fact.
I think that you're correct there.
I thought it was quite hilarious.
It is very, very funny. Music is written by Stephen Sondheim, but I think that in the world of Sondheim, I think that the book, the actual script of the show, is stronger than the music in this one.
And that's not written by Sondheim.
It's not written by Sondheim. Many of his shows, I think the music is what leads the way through them. And I think that the script is just so funny for this. But it's about a slave in Roman times that wants his freedom. And so he's working for his master, and his master falls in love with a courtesan from the house of Marcus Lycus, which is right next to his house where he lives. And she's this beautiful girl from Crete. And he sees her out the window, and he falls instantly in love with her, and he says he will do anything to get this girl. And so the slave says, will you even give me my freedom to do this? And he agrees to yes. And so anything that canon
happen does happen. From her person that she is has purchased her. He's a soldier in the army, and he comes to collect her. And they've hidden her places, and they're trying to find a way to make it happen that they can be together. The young hero is the name of the character that falls in love with the courtesan, and his parents are involved in the show. And his mother is very domineering. Her name is Domina. And his father just kind of takes it. And the other slave that works for the house is named Hysterium. He is very nervous all the time. He wants things to be just perfect and can't calm down and do things very easily without, you know, being very nervous about it. He has to step in to help and ends up pretending to be the courtesan in the second act of the show, who has passed away because they're trying to convince the soldier that she's passed away. And so they're having a funeral for her. And so he's dressed up as the courtesan, which is pretty funny to watch this guy who it doesn't make that cute of a woman in our version of it. But it just, you know, there's a happy ending, of course, in the end of it, just like all good musical theater. But it's so much fun, and it's a little naughty. Then I think that's what our audiences have really liked about it, is that it's not the family show that they may be used to with some things. It's a little outside of the box with that.
Well, I actually had noticed that, and I hadn't seen this before in relation to theater, that you on your website, the little theater lists a movie rating of PG-13 for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people ask, well, do you consider this something that's family appropriate? And I wouldn't consider this family appropriate. There's no foul language in it, but there is a lot of things that could be considered risque in talking about the show and subject matter for it. So we didn't want to take any chances. So if somebody is worried about it, we're trying to give them the heads up, hey, this might not be a great thing to bring your little kids to.
Or if you do,
it's at your own caution.
You guide them through. Mm-hmm. Do you actually not admit people?
No. If somebody buys a ticket for it, you know, and they sometimes will ask, you know, is this appropriate for my 7-year-old to come to? And we'll say, well, we think it's PG-13, but if you think it's appropriate for them, that by all means,
that's up to you.
We'll
sell you a ticket.
Allow infants to come into the show to not bother people, but that's really the only thing we don't allow.
What are some songs people might recognize from that?
Comedy Tonight, probably the title song, which I found out in the process of rehearsing the show. When it first was doing its tryout before it went to Broadway in Boston, that was not part of the show, and people hated the show. And that was the make or break of the show when they brought it to New York. They added this other song, Comedy Tonight, in it, and that's really what it tells the whole story of what's going on in the show in that first 5 minutes of the show. But it kind of gave people that, oh, here's what's happening here. I get what's going on. And they really enjoyed that much better. Lovely is another one. I'm Calm, which Hysterium sings, which he's absolutely not calm. And then we have the courtesans, of course, are all part of the song The House of Marcus Lycus, which they each do a little dance showing off what their best assets, per se, are. And then Everybody Ought to Have a Maid is kind of the big comedy number that's in the end of the first act, where they're trying to convince Hero's father that the courtesan that's hiding in the house is the new maid that comes in, and he is in love with her and thinks that, yes, that will be his personal maid. So he sings the song about everyone ought to have a maid, and these are the things that she should do for you. And everybody joins in on it, so it's really cute.
So that's Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. It continues through Sunday. So what are the performances this weekend?
We have Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 2 o'clock and 8 p.m., Thursday at 8, Friday at 8, Saturday at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 2 o'clock.
And, of course, people can go onto the website, which is thelittletheater.org,
yes.
If you want to get that repeated or find out what the other shows are. I'm talking with John Stevens, who is the executive artistic director of the Little Theater in Sullivan. And when I saw on the website those three terms, executive artistic director, I was thinking, I thought you were just the executive director.
I thought I was too. Our artistic director decided that he wanted to go back to New York City and work, and he's actually working on a brand new musical right now called Sasquatch the Musical.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it, but he's having a good time working with that. And he was only here part-time throughout the year anyway, so I stepped up to take that position on. So I'm now doing all the casting as well as picking the shows and hiring the directors and choreographers and musicians and all of that fun
and
stuff.
Do you imagine this is a permanent situation?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really enjoying it, having a little bit more creativity in things instead of just constantly doing just the fundraising and the marketing side of things. I still do that. I have an assistant that is working with me now on that. And I also have an artistic associate as well. So it's nice team that we've put together to kind of help spread the jobs out. But when it comes down to things like finances and things like that, that, you know, the artistic director says, well, we need to have this with it. Well, I can just tell myself, well, we can't afford that and just move on there instead of having an argument about it. So that's kind of nice.
Is it easy to tell? Is it easy to tell yourself that?
No, it's absolutely not. I'm kind of cheap when it comes to things like that. I don't like to spend money just carelessly, so I make sure that it's all researched very well and where are we absolutely getting the best price on this, because I want to be able to have as much as we can on that little stage for the little budget that we do have.
The term little, of course, I always like to remind listeners that that was called the Little Theater in the Square, and it is a little theater. It's named after Guy Little.
Yes, and still around, still comes to every opening and every closing of our shows, and we love having him there.
Yeah, I'm sure. So the next show then, Anything Goes, I have not seen this one, although I do recognize the names of many of the songs and actually recognize some of the songs, including the one we opened with, which is the title
track. All Cole Porter music. It's just fantastic show. DeLovely, Anything Goes, the title song. So many other great songs in it. And this is really about a guy, Billy Crocker, and he is on a boat, and he's not supposed to be there doing some work for his boss. Doesn't get off the boat because he sees this woman and falls in love with her instantly at first sight. And the other characters on the boat are a lounge singer who is an evangelist, Reno Sweeney. And she will evangelize about how God's helping things along the way, but she's always good for a drink and looking at the cute guys that are around. She has four angels with her that are her backup singers. And then there is a mobster on the boat as well. And he is friends with Reno. They get into a little bit of trouble along the way, too. But Billy is in love with Hope Harcourt, who is a very wealthy woman. Her mom's on the ship as well, and she's supposed to get married to this Englishman, and he's doing everything he can to stop that from happening. And along the way, we have songs like Anything Goes. We have Blow Gabriel Blow. We have Friendship they sing together. It's just a really fun show, and lots of tapping in it. Lots and lots and lots of tapping in it. So,
and we heard some of that in the opening song. So, again, I haven't seen the show. Somebody told me recently that it's one of those shows where the plot is really just an excuse for the songs.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the more modern musical where the songs maybe advance the plot, which is ultimately what it's about.
Yeah.
Well, plus the music.
This, they took a lot of Cole Porter's great songs and put them together so they...
Oh, so this was not a Cole Porter show originally.
I think that it was not. I'm pretty sure that it was written to use some of his music.
And I'm reading it here on your website as the classic nautical musical set in 1934, and I guess I misread that to mean it was first done in 1934.
No, it's just portrayed that we're in 1934.
We heard Patti LuPone in the role of Reno Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
Did she originate the role? Or
I'm not sure that she did. That was the 1987 revival that she was in. So I'm not sure who originated that role, actually.
I didn't do my homework and go back and look up. I at least do a little bit and remind myself, you know, tell myself when these shows started, and then I don't. But you told me before we actually began the show, as we were listening to that song, that the later version of Anything Goes is quite different from the one we heard as represented in
that particular recording. Yeah, there's different characters in it, different names of characters in it. There's the last time we did it was my very first year at the theater, and we did the newer version, which now there's again another newer version that has just been revived on Broadway.
With still different characters?
No, it's the same characters, just tightened up the show a little bit.
So it's a different new version of the second version.
Yes. But the main difference is it starts, the one that we're doing starts immediately on the boat. And we're bon voyage. Everybody's getting on the boat. So that's how it opens, with people entering the boat. In the revival version of it, there is a whole couple of scenes that happen before anybody gets on the boat, kind of setting up what's happening with things. And you meet a couple of the characters. You understand why Billy is working for his boss and what he's doing, and he's got to deliver something to his boss. So those all happen in the revival version of it. And there's a different character's name. Her name is Bonnie in this one, but I can't remember what her name is in the other one. It's the gangster's girlfriend. Completely different name. She's got a different song, everything.
But you're doing the first version.
Yes.
Because it's...
Because we had done the revival version before, and when I talked to the lady, Kelly Shook, that is directing and choreographing the show for me, she said, I've never done this version. Let's go back and do this one.
Yeah, okay. Why not? What do you want to tell us about your actors for this one?
I am bringing back one of my favorite actresses as Reno Sweeney for this, Leanne Payne. She's from California. She came to us my first year at the theater, and she played just a mix of so many different things, from Mrs. Mears in Thoroughly Modern Millie to Harold's wife in The Full Monty, and everything in between, from an 80-year-old nun to Mrs. Mears was Chinese woman in that show. So she's a very versatile actress, and she actually played Reno that first year for us as well. So we're happy to have her back and do this, because she is such a fantastic talent. She plays Domina, the mother, in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum as well. And then my very good friend Jack Milo from LA as well. He is playing the gangster in this. He was also Tevye for us in Fiddler on the Roof.
Nice. I mean, it's got to be a great opportunity for the actors to take on a major lead in one show and, you know, a minor lead in another one, and maybe a background character in a third.
Yeah, it's fun to get to see the versatility, and Summerstock is really all about that, because they are going to be playing many different things, from a chorus member to maybe a leading role in these shows.
I'll just mention briefly what the remaining two shows are, as long as I got everything off of your website. Will Rogers Follies, mm-hmm. opening July the 17th, and then Monty Python's Spamalot.
Oh, yeah.
July 31st. I had tried to get an interview when that show was touring. It came to the Assembly Hall here, and I forget if I didn't make the effort or nobody ever got back to me. I can't remember which way it went, but in any event, I didn't make it happen. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with perhaps some of the actors.
Oh, absolutely. And I actually have the gentleman who's playing Sir Robin for us in that, that was played by David Hyde Pierce on Broadway. He was in the tour of that, so he's now coming and doing the show for us.
That should be a lot of fun. People can check out the website for all the pertinent information on all the shows this summer, including the children's shows at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. It is thelittletheater.org. John Stevens is the executive artistic director, and we've been pleased to have him let us know some of what's going on, a little bit about these particular shows, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
What happens in... And who are the characters involved in the song It's the Lovely, which I think is what I've got queued up here.
Yeah, it should be Reno Sweeney again, and I think it's Billy Crocker that's in this one singing. And they're just talking about how love is lovely.
What else could it be?
Yeah.
We'll hear it in a moment. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. And also, before we get into that song, let me mention two other important bits of information. I've got a weather warning. Well, sorry, weather watch from the National Weather Service. A severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 7 o'clock this evening for these counties in our severe weather coverage area, DeWitt and Macon counties. That watch exists for other counties in central Illinois, but that's our severe weather watch area until 7 o'clock this evening. The forecast otherwise calling tonight for mostly cloudy sky, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 72. Tomorrow mostly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of around 92 degrees. Also want to mention, since we've been letting you know what our fundraising progress is as we approach the end of our fiscal year on June 30th here at Illinois Public Media. We are now less than a week away, and we're still about $40,000 short of our fundraising goal. Keep in mind that about a week ago we were telling you we were $100,000 short, so that's some pretty good progress, and even $70,000, I think, as of Friday. You can help us finish strong by calling 217-244-9455 or going online to willpledge.org. Again, the phone number, 217-244-9455, or give online at willpledge.org. We hope you'll consider supporting strong local music and arts coverage as represented by Live and Local here on FM 90.9.
The night is young, the skies are clear. If you'd like to go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. I am delightful.
It's delicious. It's
delectable.
It's delirious.
It's dilemma. It's the limit. It's the lux.
It's the lovely.
From Cole Porter's Anything Goes. Of course, that's It's Still Lovely, some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful songs in that show. And, of course, being put on by the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the show today. And we have some highlights from a concert version of Verdi's opera, Aida, which is one of the presentations of the Midwest Institute of Opera for 2013. The other one, which we'll be featuring next month on a date that I have forgotten, but we'll let you know later on, The Marriage of Figaro of Mozart, which will have a two-date run. This one, just one performance, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Illinois State University's Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. And with us are some of the cast members, the conductor, the keyboardist, and the co-artistic director of Midwest Institute of Opera, who also happens to be singing the title role, Tracy Marie Cook. Thanks very much for coming along and bringing in your folks.
Thank you for having us today.
Yeah.
Well, it's
a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, likewise. You know, I've never seen Aida. Isn't that sad?
Oh,
it's horrible.
it's definitely one of Verdi's greatest masterpieces.
Yeah.
Standard repertoire. Not done very often by smaller houses because it takes such demanding singers to do the piece. And what we're doing at Midwest Institute of Opera, we are mainly a company that features young emerging artists. Our production of Le Nozze di Figaro, which will be in July. And let me give you those dates real quick. Sunday, July 28th at 2 o'clock p.m. and Tuesday, July 30th at 7:30 p.m. And what we do is I am looking to help emerging artists expand their repertoire and their experiences in opera so that they can move forward in their careers. And that's why we started the program, Midwest Institute of Opera. And but this year, I wanted to do a concert version of Verdi's Aida so that we could fundraise for our program. And I brought in some wonderful singers, friends of mine who I've worked with professionally. Our tenor, Radames, is Todd Kowalis.
Woo!
Yeah, and he's from Chicago area. And our mezzo, Allison Robertson, she'll be playing the role of Amneris.
So you should be cheering for her now.
Right.
And then my husband, who will be playing my father, John Michael Cook, baritone.
Oh, there's something in that.
A little wrong, but you know, when it comes to the sopranos and baritones in Verdi, it's always a father-daughter relationship. Ooh, and he'll be playing the role of Amanastro. And I myself will be singing the title role of Aida. And then our wonderful conductor, Kara Chowning, or Kara Chowning. She's my cara mia, but Kara Chowning from U of I. Yay. And then our accompanist and for the concert is Byu Nim La. And she joins us from Korea. And the performance is going to be with piano. And it's just going to be a way to hear opera that is not done in Central Illinois. Because right now we currently have no resident opera company in Central Illinois. We have... Through schools, we have programs, but not its own entity. And that's what we're working on here with Midwest Institute of Opera, is to begin a company. That is our ultimate goal. We have been in production for 3 years. And in those last 3 years, we've done the Magic Flute was our first year. And our second year was a production of Don Giovanni, Mozart's Don Giovanni last year, and the Pirates of Penzance. So this year, we're doing the concert version of Aida, as a fundraiser, and then the Le Nozze di Figaro as our young artist / emerging artist performances.
And that's the one that will have orchestra.
And that will have that. No, actually, that will be with piano, but
piano?
Fully staged with costumes. So what we're trying to do with Aida is bring people to us to see what we do, and hopefully they'll dig a little bit into their pockets so that we can begin to provide an orchestra for these great performances. Our conductor for Le Nozze di Figaro is Joshua Green from the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And our stage director is Beth Green from the New York City Opera. So I'm bringing in all these seasoned professionals to the Midwest so that we can begin establishing a true, fully functioning opera company.
Well, it's exciting. And,
it's very exciting.
Yes. And it's also exciting. I mean, I said I haven't seen Aida. In fact, I've seen a little bit of it on TV with Leontine Price. Actually, it was one of her last times that she did it.
We hail to thee.
Yeah. But it was just a tiny little bit, and it was an accident. So I'm still...
Oh, no. What a wonderful accident.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm still Aida deprived. But we're going to have a preview of some things right now. I mean, I've always heard of it as the ultimate grand opera. So this will be the ultimate grand opera scaled down just a bit.
Yes, for sure.
For the Midwest, yeah.
In concert.
What did you bring along to do, and what kind of introduction can you give us for what we're going to start with?
We're going to start with one of the most famous arias from the piece. It is a tenor aria, Celeste Aida, and it will be sung by Todd Kowalis, tenor. And here he is talking about how much he loves her and how wonderful she is. And basically, he would do anything for this woman, even deny his country.
So except for that last line.
Okay.
This could have come out of the musical we were just talking about.
Oh, well, let's see here. Let's talk about opera real quick.
Well, I mean, just as far as the topic of the song.
Right. Yeah. Well, opera is this, everybody. It's love. It's murder, it's lust,
it's betrayal,
and then it ends, and someone dies.
At least one someone. At least one.
In this opera, it will be two people.
Okay. Well, that's not really a giveaway. Anybody can look it up.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so we have Todd Kowalis in the role of
Radames.
Thank you very much. And Byu Nim La at the keyboard from Midwest Institute of Opera's concert version of Aida coming up this coming Sunday here on Live and Local.
Se quel guerriero fossi, se il mio sogno si avverasse. Thank you. l'esercito di Prodi da me guidato. E la vittoria, e il plauso dimenti tutta. Mia dolce Aida, tornar di là ho ricinto, dirti per te ho pugnato, per te ho vinto. Brezze del patrio sol, un regal serto sul crimpo sarti, a certi o trona vicino al sol, un trono vicino al sol. Trona vicino al sol.
Bravo, bravo.
And I imagine if, you know, in the actual an actual live operatic performance, you'd have had people obliterating that last piano bit with
yeah,
their applause.
The after that.
So that was a high what?
That was a high B flat.
B flat. A whole step below the famous high C's.
Oh,
and
God.
Yet, wonderfully grand for grand opera. Todd Koalas in the role of Radames.
It's in the perfect key.
Yeah. You're right. We didn't transpose
down or up.
So happy about that, I guess.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Todd Koalas in the role of Radames from Verdi's Aida, the production concert performance is going to be happening Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock presented by Midwest Institute of Opera at the Illinois State University in Normal. And obviously we have live performers in our studio. At the piano was Buell Nimla. In the shadows, the conductor, not actually conducting, Kara Chowning, who has actually sat at this keyboard a number of times for University of Illinois.
That's right.
Performances. What was that?
I said passing the torch.
Passing the torch, yeah.
She's quite capable.
You know, even that, I mean, you described that as essentially a love song, but even within there, as so often seems to be in Verdi arias, you can hear the tragedy to come is in the music.
Mm. Yes.
You know, just in, I don't know if it's the chords or just the nature of the melody or what. What is the tragedy to come for those who don't know the story?
The tragedy. Oh, I'm sorry.
The only thing I was going to say that's at least regarding my character that I really liked about him is that, when he's faced with a chance to save his life at the end, and it's proposed that he can still live if he gives up Aida. And she's been guilty of doing some things that got him into the predicament that he's in. So, you know, human nature, you could see where a person might say, okay, but he does not. And in fact, he goes further to say, you say that my life, you give me the gift of life. He said, this is a gift that I have to live then without Aida. He said, no, I will not have it. So kind of, I like that part of it anyway.
So he's a fairly noble character.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole opera is filled with all different tragedies. Playing the role of Omneris, I would say that I feel betrayed not only by Aida, who is my servant, but also by Radames, who is our prized warrior that I am in love with, and he betrays both our country and my love. So
that's multiple layers here.
Yeah, many layers. It's a very deep piece.
Yep, and then there's Aida, who is torn between the love of her country, Ethiopia, and the love of Radames, because he's an Egyptian. And basically what has happened is there's a war between the two countries and Ethiopia loses. And they take us, the slaves, into the castle. And I am one of the slaves that is chosen to be Amneris' servant. But nobody knows that I'm actually the daughter of Amonasro, who is the king of Ethiopia. And I am the princess. So what's happening is that I fall in love with Radames. He's the only joy that I have in the castle. And so as the opera progresses, they capture my father, who they do not know is my father. And basically what we do is my father tells me is that I need to get information about what the Egyptians are going to do to Ethiopia so that we can stop them.
So you're a spy, too.
I become a spy.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but I don't want to become a spy, but how can I deny my father who I love? Aida is very torn. She loves Radames. She hates him. But she loves her father. But she hates him because he won't let her be with Radames. But what ends up happening is that the father basically says, if you get this information, I will return you to Ethiopia, and you two can be in love and live in our palace. And essentially, he would then be the next king of Ethiopia, with me being princess. So I get the information from Radames.
But since it's not a comic opera, things don't turn out quite as we want. Well, before we run out of time, there are two other singers here. I gather you both plan to sing something.
They are going to sing the Act One duet,
okay,
Radames and Amneris. Again, Allison Robertson is our mezzo, and Todd Kowalis is our tenor.
Mm-hmm. From Midwest Institute of Opera production of Aida, which is one performance only, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Thank you.
Gioia nel tuo sguardo, di quale nobil fierezza ti balena il volto, degno d'invidio quanto saria la donna il cui bramato è
sogno avventuroso si beava il mio cuore. Oggi la diva proferisce a nome del quellier che a campo le schiere egizie condurrà. Oh, che fossi a tal onor prescelto! Inchiesta. Forse parcan muore, ci aprì che mare di cuore.
A voi, se nostro amore, ardesse a lui nel cuore.
E lo scave nome, mi lesse nel pensiero.
E il mio sguardo penetra questo fatal mister, poi se il mio
forse mi lesse nel pensiero. Forse mi lasse, mi lasse nel pensier, mi lasse nel pensier.
And thus ends the excerpt.
Yes.
From Verdi's Aida.
Well, what's going on in that moment is I see Radames. And I am so happy to see him. And he's saying how, you know, he's coming back as this awesome warrior. And I'm saying, well, don't you have any other interests? Perhaps me, Amneris?
No.
Getting to know you a little better, perhaps?
So even in that aria, or in musical theater parlance, that song, I mean, there's a lot of tension going on.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. Yes.
That is...
Because she's saying, oh, no,
yep.
There's someone else. It's not me. How could he do this? Who could it be? How could he not want me, the pharaoh's daughter?
I mean, the Radames is
come
like,
on.
Oh, does she suspect there's somebody else? So, you know, there's a lot of deception going on. A lot of people playing different parts.
And drama as only grand opera can produce
it. And not being truthful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until the end, when it all comes out at the end.
Which we won't entirely give away.
No. But the music is gorgeous.
Oh, Absolutely gorgeous. All the way through. We heard Alison Robertson as Amneris and Todd Qualis once again as Radames. And I thought we were going to hear Tracy Marie Cook as Aida, but I guess you're going to have to go to the production Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's at Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. And this is a fundraiser performance for their, I guess you'd say, larger production in that it's fully staged. And there are two performances The Marriage of Figaro coming up at the end of July. And we'll have singing actors on here. I want to say it's the 15th of July.
Yes, in July.
Is that what
mm-hmm.
it is? Mm-hmm. On Live and Local again. And thanks very much to Buell Nimla.
Yes, thank you so much for your beautiful playing.
For performing on our Clavinova Steinway.
She played the heck out of it, too. Wow.
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things about Mio, as Tracy stated, is it really is helping emerging
Mio
artists.
Mio, Midwest Institute of Opera.
Yes. That's the acronym.
And yes. I think what a lot of people don't understand about opera is that if you don't have a lot of roles prepared on your resume, you're easily overlooked no matter what the talent is. I mean, that's how I feel just experiencing the business for what I have.
That's what we've been seeing in our business happening now to young artists is they just don't have the experience at the college level to take them to the next level. So that's what Midwest Institute of Opera is doing, is bridging the gap between that undergrad graduate work to the performance level, professional level. So
it's not unlike, you know, so many other businesses where
yes.
you need the experience, but if nobody's giving you experience, how are you supposed to get the experience?
Right, exactly. And that's where the donations come in and are so important to us, not only for Mio, but for these young artists that are incredibly talented and that need that financial help to succeed in the business.
And just think, you could be helping a young artist get to the Met or to the Lyric Opera, and and that you help them do that. So please go to our website at www.midwestinstituteofopera.org, and there are ways that you can contact us if you're interested in donating or just learning more about our company. Plenty of information there.
Or just go to the performance on Sunday.
Or go to the performance on Sunday and meet all of us. We would like both, actually.
We want our cake.
And eat it, too.
Well, many thanks to all of our participants on this portion of Live and Local. Tracy Murray Cook is Aida, and she's also co-artistic director of Midwest Institute of Opera. Thanks to all for coming over today.
Thank you
for having us. Thank you so much.
Support for our broadcast today comes from Meadows Edge at Clark Lindsay, a new community to be located adjacent to Meadowbrook Park on the east edge of the Clark Lindsay campus. Meadows Edge will offer villa accommodations for active adults looking for condo-style homes. You can learn more at clark-lindsay.com. That's L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. We also have support from these business partners, Risk Management Commodities of Lafayette, Indiana, Fertilizer Dealer Supply of Philo, and Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting of Champaign. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible, and we thank you for your support. This is 90.9 WILL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned for All Things Considered. And for the next minute or so, give a listen to some of the ballet music from Aida here on FM 90.9.